And we are back and live, and tonight we're talking with Eric Moore. He is, says he's a member of Spectral Ohio Paranormal. How are you doing tonight? How are you doing tonight, Eric?
I'm doing good.
That's good. Good. So basically, so the viewers that like to watch our stuff here, and they don't know who you are. And the thing I ask out of the gate question to kind of get them familiarized with you, if you don't mind, it's basically what got you interested and started in the paranormal.
Well, I was always interested in it, even when I was young. My mom was kind of into it. My aunt was kind of into it. You know, way back, I got to admit, we had one of the Parker Brothers Ouija board that we'd get out on the kitchen table. We didn't know what we were doing. You know, yeah, if I would have known what I know now, I would have never played with one of those. But, you know, so we messed with it. I just always had a curiosity of it. And then we moved in about when I was 15. We moved to a different house, and there was just so much things happened in this house that were hard to explain. Just you'd see shadows, you'd hear footsteps, you'd hear noises, sound like somebody walking upstairs, up and down the stairs. Just so that really piqued my interest too. Never really, you know, got into the ghost hunting. And then what really got me started then too, really interested, was the Ghost Hunter show. You know, I watched that for a long time. The episode that of them at the St. Augustine Lighthouse. That one really piqued my interest. And then we just kind of, me and my wife, we just started kind of going to little events and stuff around the area. Mansfield Prison, that was our big first ghost hunt that we went on. You know, we had a K2 meter and stuff walking around with a big group. We didn't know what we were doing at that time. And so we kind of did events like that. And then getting... in Bryan, Ohio, which is only about 20 minutes from us, Austin Maynard, who started the Underground Paranormal Network, he had an event at Father John's, which he had the Tennessee Wraith Chasers there. He had Doogie and Chris and Mike and Brandon. And we went over there and we did the ghost hunt with them and stuff. And I kind of followed his page then. And he put out a posting about help manage haunted locations. I thought, well, this sounds interesting. You know, it's just 20 minutes away. Let's see what's going on here. So I messaged him and we got talking. And like I said, so he has locations around. He, at the time, he had several locations and he just needed help managing it, you know, help preserve these places. He would run ghost hunts out of there. All the money that would be raised from it would go to the owner to help preserve the place. So we kind of got involved in that, and we, I started going with him to different places, and then became a member of the Underground Paranormal Network, which is kind of the historic preservation of the buildings, kind of the network of the locations, events, and everything that we do. And then we have our ghost hunting, our investigation team, which is Spectral Ohio. So there's a difference between the two. So we run events. We have 6 locations now. In Ohio, 5 in Ohio, and then 1 in up by Detroit, in Detroit, the old 6th precinct. So people book these places. They come in. We'll help. We'll do the tours with them. We'll help ghost hunt with them if they want. A lot of times teams come in, book the places, you know, and they will do the night. And then, like I said, then our team, we go to different places ourselves then ghost hunt. So most of the people that are in the UGPN network are on our team also, and we go and do that. So that's kind of what really got me started. Like I said, I had a passion for it. Like I said, Austin took me on board, me and my wife, and really just showed us a lot of stuff we were missing with ITC, with different ghost boxes, working with different with the different builders, with Jay Prater, with Katie Stafford, the Haltes. I mean, so we I've really been fortunate. And in the 2 years that we've been together now, just on the stuff that I've learned, been able to do, the events we've been involved with, you know, we've had the TWC guys out or the Wraith Chasers out. We've had Katie Stafford out. We've had Sarah Limos out from, you know, so we've had, it's really been quite 2 years that we really got heavy into it. Like I said, me and my wife did it probably about 5 years, 6 years. We've been just, you know, dabbling in it here and there, just kind of learning things as we went, you know, with K2 meter and stuff like that. But like I said, there's just so much more out there with the recordings. And like I said, Austin put together this whole Underground Paranormal Network, and he just does an outstanding job with it. I mean, the events he puts on, you know, he puts all this stuff together, and I get to go along and help out and go along for the ride, basically. So I've been really privileged to be a part of that, and then join Spectral Ohio then too, like I said. So he's kind of backed out a little bit out of the ghost hunting side of it. He's really focused on the ITC search and stuff. So I've kind of taken over the Spectral Ohio, the team then. So
cool. So with that happening, then you took over the team, and now you do your own team using Spectral Ohio?
Yeah, it is pretty much the same members, like I said. So we kind of just, you know, Austin's still part of it, him and his wife, like I said. So he kind of backed away with it, but we've got, you know, Derek Coyle, my wife Becky, involved in it. So it's really, you know, Austin, his wife Colleen. I know Derek's wife a lot goes with us too, Amanda. So it's a great, and then Courtney, she's our psychic medium. She is just outstanding. Her husband is a part of the team, but unfortunately, just a few weeks ago, he was involved in an automobile accident and passed away. So that was pretty hard with our team, like I said, because we are a close, not only, you know, teammates, but, you know, you become family when you do this.
Oh, yeah.
When you're out, you know, driving around, spending nights in cold, dark places. I mean, it's more than just teammates and friends. You become family when you do this. So,
sorry to hear about your
team. Yeah, loss.
That's a hard loss.
It is. It really was. Like I said, it was a hard loss. Like I said, I mean, it's, you become family with it. And like I said, we have our sister team, Creepy Cincinnati Paraforensics, that's based out of Cincinnati, that we have Mike Ring and Laurie a part of, Paul, that we do stuff with. Austin kind of started that when he lived in Cincinnati, broke off of that. And then, so we do a lot of stuff with Mike Ring and Creepy Cincinnati. So we collaborate a lot, because actually we're going this weekend to Alan Whitmore's place in Illinois, the Old Salem Hospital. So we're headed there this weekend.
Okay. So, in all your investigations, you got any that are kind of intriguing or that you want to talk about?
The one place we had that was really, we've been to a lot of places. But there was this place, we've been to a lot of active places, but maybe one of the most intense places we were at was actually in a town called Delphus, which they got us into this place. It was an old antique store. It was an old railroad station. They let us go in and investigate this place. It was kind of, they were kind of skeptic at first and stuff. Didn't know if they wanted us in there. But they let us in at least twice. We weren't able to go back. But we were upstairs. It was kind of an old, built late 1800s. It sat right on the railroad tracks. And this place was a bar, like I said, a bar, an antique store, an ice cream store. So we were upstairs, clear back in this one room. It was room number 8. It almost looked like it was a little brothel or hotel way back in the day, because it just had small little numbered rooms. But there was a group of us back there, and we were using a box by Jake Prater, and it has a microphone on top of it too. And this, all of a sudden, you just heard. So not only do you have the box itself scanning at, you know, random speeds, it's a random scan box, you had a microphone on top of it that would pick up, you know, other voices or anything in the room. And this thing just started making one of the craziest noises we ever heard. So, one lady that was in there with us was affected. She just started crying and went down to the floor. There was a shelf behind us that just came crashing down all of a sudden. You could see the shadow back in the corner. Like I said, that was probably one of the most intense things we've been a part of investigating. We haven't been able to get back into that building. We're trying to talk them into getting in there one more time just to try to figure out what that was back in that corner. That was crazy. But, I mean, we've been to some great places. We went to Hinsdale last year. We went to Wildwood. We want to go to Trans-Allegheny this year, Waverly, Mansfield. We're going to Mansfield in a couple weeks. We're going to Fairfield in Lancaster. That was a great place. And we're going back at the end of March, too. That was a really cool place there. But then our locations that we do here, too, Middle Point School, that's one in our locations that we manage. That has become quite an active place. It was, I think, as you investigate and bring more people in, places can get more and more active, and that's how Middle Point is. This place, first couple times we went in there, it was calm. It's like, this is a nice place, you know? But then it just seems like it has a little bit of everything, it seems like, in there. It's got some, you know, decent activity. Then it's got some negative activity in there. So it's quite a place.
That is cool whenever you can go into places and find different kinds of activity.
Yeah.
So what is the things you find the most? Do you find mostly intelligent haunts or residuals?
We do. It seems like we get a lot of intelligent haunts. It seems like. Now, there is, I think, at like a couple places we have, there's some residual going on. But mm-hmm. It seems like we run into a lot of intelligent haunts between like the ghost boxes we use and the recordings we use, some of the direct answers you can get, some of the interaction you can get. It's pretty good, especially our member from Creepy Cincinnati, Mike Ring. We call him the EVP magnet. It seems like he can pick up EVPs like crazy. They're attracted to him for some reason. So I love working with, when we get a chance to work with Mike and Creepy Cincinnati with those guys, it's great because they really bring the energy too to investigations.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, there are some people who are fairly very well sensitive that do draw the spirits into them, and they're capable of getting a lot of activity around them.
Yeah, so he's definitely one of them.
When you go on your investigations and stuff, I hear you telling us about you have your wife as one of your teammates, and then you have a mixture of male, female. Do you ever do any like just the group of males and then send the group of females after or first or anything like that?
Yeah, we've done that. We especially at the funeral home we have in Felicity, there seems to be a negative energy down in the basement that does not like women. So of course we send the women down there by themselves on that, and it seems like the women get a lot more reaction with that too. And especially if we go to like hospitals, we went to like Old South Pittsburgh Hospital last year and stuff. My wife's the nurse. We had another team member at the time. She was a nurse. Laurie's a nurse. So, you know, we'll kind of use them as trigger objects, too, when we go to, like, especially this weekend. I'm looking forward to it, you know, because we'll have two nurses with us at an old hospital. So we'll definitely use them as some trigger objects, maybe. So, but, yeah, we do that. We'll split up, you know, guys go, and guys will go one way sometimes. Women will go another way. So, yeah, we definitely split up like that.
Have them bring their nursing outfits.
Yep. We were going to do that. We were going to have like an old lab coat and stuff. We were going to take those to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital last year, but we never did do that. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, honestly, something like that, depending on the age of the hospital or age of the building itself, you know, especially if it was done up back in the 1940s, something like that.
Yeah.
The nurses' outfits were totally different. That's when they had white cap things, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the you never seen a nurse in a pair of jeans or a pair of pants or anything. It's always a nurse's dress, you know, and then lab coat over top sometimes.
Yeah.
So, but no, I was just kind of wondering if you guys did stuff like that to where you found that the there was more activity or got more activity whenever you had just the women do the investigations by themselves.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely do that. So that's always fun to do that. But, to send the women somewhere off by themselves. So
yeah. So what's your favorite piece of equipment you like to use?
My favorite piece is my go-to piece all the time is the Direct Link by Jay Prater. Love that thing. You know, it's a handheld device. Ghost Adventures uses them. I think you've probably seen them on there. You know, it's a handheld. You're kind of the antenna. You kind of use it. You put your finger on it. Kind of uses your energy to try and communicate with them. Like I said, that's my go-to piece. I mean, between our team, we have so many boxes that we use. We've got so many different ones. You know, I've got some. Of course, I got some of the Shack hacks and a little portal I made. You know, we've got stuff by Katie Stafford. We use the Ink Box, the Necrocom. He's got a new piece out. I've got a Orion made by Katie Halte. I just got a new box on the way from her, too, that I'm looking forward to, a random linear scan. But my go-to still is the Direct Link. It seems like you can really get some good direct responses with the Direct Link. And of course, you know, a lot of people are on the fence about it, of course, but you know, the DR60s, our team, you know, we have three of them on our team that we use. You know, my wife, she uses a different recorder. She uses like a little Panasonic old recorder with a little mic on it, and you know, she's gotten some great EVPs on that. But you know, between the Direct Link and the DR60, I go with the Direct Link, but like I said, the DR60 though is a close second that I like to use. Like I said, a lot of people are on the fence of it one way or the other, you know, if they believe in it and they don't, you know, if it actually picks up, you know, everything they say. But we've gotten some very good, very clear responses with direct responses with the DR60. So.
Your mic's muted, Mark.
That's weird. This thing's acting up on me. I don't know what's up with it. It did that twice to me before I even started. But you guys do film, right?
Yeah, we go live on Facebook under the UGPN or the Spectral Ohio. You know, we don't do a lot of filming. I mean, it's all live. It's all right there. You know, I think our followers really like that, you know. We'll do an EVP session and we'll play it right there. If we get something, we get something. If we don't, we don't. It's live. You know, sometimes we're not PG-13 either. You know, we'll let a cuss word fly here and there. We pick on each other. We joke with each other.
I think all of us do that way.
I think we all do that. Yeah.
So, you know, we pick on each other as we go. We interact. Sometimes it takes, you know, we interact with the people, you know, the people that follow us. Mm-hmm. Really like it when we interact with them when we can. You know, a lot of times my wife will just kind of sit back and answer questions. You know, she'll kind of sit back at base camp or something. She enjoys doing that and answer the questions as they come through, you know, so that way, you know, they just kind of feel like they're part of the investigation too. You know, I mean, we definitely have some dedicated followers that jump on and, you know, just love, you know, what we do. You know, sometimes we'll just get on there, joke around. We'll just be sitting there. Not even investigating, and they'll jump on. We joke around with them and just, you know, kind of talk and blab and, you know, just part of that interaction. They enjoy that. So, but yeah, we don't film. It's all live. It's all right there. We get something, and other nights, you know, you don't get anything. It's just kind of boring, but you know, they stick it out with us every time we go live.
Oh, it's so, like you said, you could be sitting in a cemetery and for 6 hours, and all you do is talk to yourself.
Yeah, you know, it is. I mean,
you know, it happens. It's part of the truth, and I think some people expect you to find something every time you go out, and I think that's got a lot to do with Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, to get that much content for one episode, they would have had to have visited that place numerous times to put all that footage together.
Oh yeah.
Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Well, honestly, for what I think is, it does depend. I mean, they do have several cameras running, but like with Ghost Hunters early on, I think they were fairly honest with everything. But when everything started picking up and they started getting more famous, and
don't get me wrong, it's still entertaining,
right? But people started expecting them to find things. That's when I think it all kind of went the wrong way, where things got staged. I don't like the big production investigations like that, because I feel that they're staged, because it's all done through Hollywood. Other than like what we do, where you guys go out and you do your live investigations and you broadcast live through Facebook. Yep. That's great. You know, if I could figure out how to do that, I think we would do the same thing.
We'd be doing it live too, but we haven't figured out how to do it quite yet. We don't edit our footage.
We don't edit any of our footage.
What you see when we on our YouTube investigations, because all our investigations are on YouTube right now, but all those investigations, none of them are, well, it's edited. It's edited with a screen telling you that, you know, this is where we are, this is who we are, you know, this is where we're at. And then, you know, maybe a little credits, but very little editing done. It's all raw footage put together. So you hear everything we hear, see everything we see as we seen it. You know, we don't jump to conclusions. You know, we don't say what it is. We say what it might be, because, you know, not everybody knows Wisconsin. So we kind of got to give you, if we're out in the wilds, we give you a little bit of, you know, what the wildlife could be in this area.
Yeah. We, like I said, we enjoy that too. We enjoy the live interaction, because a lot of times, you know, they'll hear something through the ghost box or recording, you know, they chime in. No, I heard this. No, we heard, or, you know, when you say, man, I heard this, and you know, you got three people saying, yeah, I heard this, that, you know, they heard the same thing. That just kind of goes along with everything, and you know, and they get chatting with each other then too, amongst each other. So like I said, we've got some great deadlights that we got from Josh Bender. We use some of those. We use a great Nikam built by Joel Myers. I mean, these things are awesome that we use. We can hook them up through Facebook, through the Camerify Live, go through that. That's what we use a lot. Are these Nikams. Joel puts these together. Great guy that we work with. And like I said, we go through the Facebook. We use Camerify Live and use those. Like I said, yeah, between those deadlights and the cameras, just awesome piece of equipment right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the things I like, though, is whenever we're doing our investigations, when we do go out and do them, and we have now we have three cameras, but we have like the two video cameras. The last investigation we did was Halloween, and we had my camera stationary, Joe's camera. Me and my daughter were walking around with it. She was filming. I had my voice recorder with us, and I was able to catch some EVPs on the voice recorder that I was able to actually match up on both videos for both cameras because it happened in the same room.
Yeah.
And that's actually exciting to me whenever you can actually match up your discoveries on three different devices.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has that stuff ever happened to you guys like that?
Yeah, we've had that. Where we've heard something on the cam, or yeah, we've heard something through that or through the ghost box. Or then when we get two record, we have two different recorders going, and you get this one direct question, and you get a direct answer and you hear it on both recorders, you know, especially if you're using a DR60 and you're using a different one. You know, a couple weeks ago at the funeral home, my wife, they caught a great EVP in the basement on two different recorders in the basement. That was just the women down there on that. And they got, like I said, you could hear it on both recorders. And that's when you hear that's pretty cool when you can kind of go through that, or you hear something through the ghost box and then you get it on the recorder too. That is cool. That's hard to debunk anything like that when that happens.
Well, yeah, it is. That's cool. That's why I really enjoy it whenever we do wind up getting it on two or three different pieces of equipment that records audio or video or both. So, do you guys just stick with the buildings and stuff, or do you ever go out and do cemeteries or any of that kind of stuff?
You know, we do go outside. We'll go to a cemetery. Like I said, me and my wife will, you know, if we got nothing to do or something, we'll go there. But we did investigate a place. Our team member got us to this place. It was outside, mostly outside. They were these three old buildings outside. And, of course, you know, supposedly it was a gangster hangout. It was outside Lima, Ohio, which was kind of known way back. You know, they had some gangsters going through there. Okay. And supposedly Al Capone was, you know, Al Capone's been everywhere, you know, but supposedly, you know, Al Capone has
been, he has been through Illinois, Wisconsin,
yeah,
Michigan,
Ohio, pretty much
Indiana,
the whole Great Lakes area,
all of this area. Al Capone has done his
share of hideouts and had his share of hideouts. Him and Dillinger. Dillinger part of that group too.
Yeah, Dillinger. This place, it was cool. We had Courtney was with us, our psychic. She was with us, and these three buildings were just so active. And then there was, we could hear it through one of our boxes. We were outside. We could hear a baby crying, which then we're walking. We've never been here. First of all, we've never been there. We get there, and Courtney had drawn out a map of the place, and none of us have ever been there. And she mapped out the buildings and all this stuff. And supposedly there was at one time a tunnel under this place. But like I said, then we're walking through these weeds and trees and stuff. We're outside. It was in the summertime. And we come across all this baby stuff then, like a doll and some clothes and stuff, which was kind of weird. But then on our live feed, what we caught, we were standing there. There was no wind. There was nothing. It was a calm night. Myself and Derek were standing right there, and it looked like somebody walking through the weeds. I mean, it looked like the weeds were just parting. I mean, on both sides. So if the wind was blowing, they would go one way. It looked like somebody walked. I mean, it was on our live feed too. People saw it. It looked like the weeds were just opening up, like somebody was walking through them. I mean, so, you know, we enjoy doing some outside places. Sometimes, you know, the evidence and if try to do recordings and stuff can get a little contaminated. But as far as the boxes and stuff, you know, they work great outside. So we've definitely did that. And actually, when we went to the Hinsdale house last year, actually, it seemed like we had more activity out around the pond. I don't know if you've ever been to Hinsdale or any over there. But there's outside, you know, there was activity out there. And actually, I got more activity that night anyways out around the pond out there and up on the hill than actually in the house. So, I mean, it was a cool place to go. I mean, you know, we were kind of all excited about going to Hinsdale. You know, they had, you know, two exorcisms there, and this place was, you know, we kind of psyched ourselves up, and then we got there. It was cool being there, and we did have some good experiences, but, you know, I think we thought it was going to be a little more crazy than it was, but it was still a good night, still cool being there to see the place and spend the night there.
Yeah, so that's always a cool part of this, you know. You either get to learn something about the history, or just be in one of those cool places that's just like literally famous in the paranormal circle and horror movies, and, you know, because of the stories.
Yeah.
You know, and we all know how those stories go, you know, because when we do the digging, we find the truth eventually. But over the years, they get a little blown out of proportion and exaggerated and just to get a little more scary and a little more fascinating.
Yeah, they do. And then we went to Wildwood the next night over there, which, you know, that was on paranormal lockdown and stuff. And that was a cool place, too. You know, just kind of quiet night there, though, too. So it was, I mean, it was a cool trip to New York. Never been to that part of New York. It was a great area, you know, great locations that we checked out. So, I mean, someplace I'd definitely go back, check out again. So definitely a cool place.
Yeah, I would imagine just because you don't get, you know, that's just it. Just because you don't get some activity the first time doesn't necessarily dismiss it for us to go back there again.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talk to the other people that went there a week later, or there was a group that talked to, they went there like a week after us. And yeah, they, you know, they just said how crazy it was. And it was, you know, I was like, it was, you know, it's just, you know, but what's their definition of crazy too, you know, it could be a little different, you know, it could be a little different, you know, like I said, we kind of amped ourselves up going in there. And, but like I said, yeah, definitely neat place. I'd definitely go back to it to investigate it again, just because it was a neat place, neat area. That whole area is neat. Just the whole history of it, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what we do too. I mean, we just love the history of places too, old places and stuff that, you know, that's one thing we try to preserve are these old buildings and stuff. Just help put the money back into them to help preserve them, the old schools and the homes. And like I said, Auglaize Village, that's a big village that, you know, we help with the funding and stuff, do paranormal tours there and help another source of income for them. So,
yeah.
Well, I think that's also pretty cool. You know, you sit there and preserving history like that, you know, because some of these buildings are just that are so old, whether they got paranormal history or not, some of them just shouldn't be destroyed, and they're getting destroyed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For things that they shouldn't be getting destroyed for, because then you go by there a few years later after they rebuild, and it's an empty lot again.
Yeah. That's kind of that one place that's talking about in Delphus. And, you know, we hear they're going to tear it down. And like I said, it's a beautiful building, big windows in the front. They're not broken out. I mean, for this building being built in like 1890, it's still pretty solid. And to think that they're just going to tear it down, you know, that's like I said, that building is just beautiful. And like I said, you know, the schools we have, you know, they're just old schools built in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They don't build schools like that anymore. No, you know, all these fancy looking places. They don't have the architecture like the old places have, the high ceilings, the woodwork. They don't have that anymore.
See, that's one of the problems with our country right now, is the fact that we're losing all of our history. We need to actually preserve our history. We need to actually go through and save a lot of these old, beautiful buildings that are still standing and actually have them renovated. Turn them into something else. Don't just
preserve them.
Well, no, renovate it. No, seriously, renovate them. Turn them into something that's useful, but don't tear them down. You know, restore them.
That's like here in our town of Defiance. Yeah. We have an old high school. It was built in 1918. It was a junior high, which I went to school there. Mm-hmm. So of course they closed it a few years ago and built a new school. And the city was supposed to take it over from the school board, but there's a fight between that, and there's a hang up between the previous owners and what that land was dedicated for. So this building's set empty. And supposedly if nothing happens to it by May, they're going to end up having to tear it down. And like I said, it's part of, you know, kind of, you come into our town, you drive down the main street. That's what you see, is this big school built in 1918 that isn't an eyesore. It's not falling down or anything. You know, it's still in great condition. You know, like I said, we talked to the city a year and a half ago about letting us get in there and do stuff, and they were on board with it, but they just don't have the rights to it yet to let us in there. And if nothing happens, unfortunately, I'm hearing that they're going to have to end up tearing it down, which would be a shame to not even, you know, even if we never got a chance to go in there, just the whole history of it, you know.
Right.
Like I said, I went to school there, you know, place was built in 1918. It's just kind of one of those things. You come into our town, you see that right down the main street at the end of it.
Yeah, so. it's kind of an iconic building for you guys
because
been there so stinking long.
Yeah, it is. You know? So
and that's one of the main beefs I have. you know, a lot of these older, beautiful buildings that were built back in the 1800s and early 1900s, they're well built buildings.
Yeah, they are.
And they shouldn't be tore down just to build a stinking strip mall that's going to be empty in 5 years because they're going to want to build another one somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's cheaper to put your store in there.
Yeah,
no, restore these things.
Well,
you know, that's our history.
Look what they did with the old Railvac building.
I know.
That place was around since like the mid-1800s. That building was there.
Right, that's down where Union Corners is, and they tore that down, and they built they've got apartment buildings there.
Yeah,
they've at least got a clinic there. they at least built a clinic for you know there and everything, but the whole thing is it's you know that was the kind of a thing that they could have renovated it and turned it into something else.
And what is it? Recently, I read that they're tearing down the old downtown MATC, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's an old building too.
That dates back quite. I'll tell you that is where my mom and my dad went to high school because it was called Central High School long before it was MATC, way back in the '50s.
Yeah.
They don't build them like that anymore. So that's what, like I said, just even when you look at like the Mansfield Prison, you know, the old reformatory, I mean, mm-hmm. you think the architecture and what it took to build that in 1890, you know, I mean, just, it's hard to believe they were going to tear that down after they filmed Shawshank there. You know, they said they had the bulldozers lined up for that place after they were going to film Shawshank, you know, they were going to tear that place down. I can't imagine.
They were actually going to tear it down right after they got done filming, right?
Yep, that's what they said. We've done so many tours there and stuff. We just love that place. They said, they said the bulldozers were out back, and they said once filming stopped, they were coming in to tear it down, but then the state of Ohio bought it for, you know, $1 to save it, and you know, so they put like so that.
Thanks to the sale.
If you're not into paranormal and just love old buildings and stuff, the architecture in that place is just amazing. Well, you know, back when they built that.
That's what I like about what you're talking about. I mean, a lot of the groups that we talk to, they do these tours and they do these setups like that to where they can raise the money to preserve. In fact, one of them that we talked to, Dr. Christy Sumner.
Sumner.
She, that's what I said, Sumner.
Sumner.
She, stop it. She was involved in preserving the Ma Barker house.
Right.
And they moved it. Bullet holes and all. Yeah, just like it is.
They patched up some of the holes, they said, for structural purposes.
They actually moved it into a park, into a state park.
Yeah, in Florida.
So it's now setting inside of a state park, and it's there for any investigator to get permission and go in and do investigations.
Yeah, that was her and her group did that. That was Soul Sisters Paranormal.
That was Soul Sisters Paranormal out of Florida. You know,
they did a great documentary. On that house, as well as the Ma Barker story. So,
but yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I like to hear of that the groups are doing. I mean, you know, you're helping to preserve our history, and not only are you helping to preserve our history, you're also discovering whether there is any kind of activity there as well.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, as far as, you know, the places we help manage, you know, we keep the prices low. I mean, we, you know, people come in, you know, 8 people, you know, $250 a night, you know, to spend the all night there at these places. And, you know, almost all the money goes back to these places. You know, we got a little cost and stuff to cover our insurance and stuff. But, you know,
well, yeah.
any money we raise, you know, we'll do little walking tours, 2.5 hour, you know, walking tours that people, you know, don't want to do a full investigation or don't have equipment. We'll lead them around on, you know, kind of go through, you know, people, you know, first time they want, they're interested in ghost hunting or seeing it, you know, but they don't have any equipment, didn't really have a way to do it. So, you know, we'll take them on this little, you know, investigation for 2.5 hours, you know, some people love it and some people are like, nope, not for me. I'm out of here. You know? So
right.
they get a taste of it. And they're like, nope.
Well, that, so that's, we've had
a few people like that left early on us are like, oh, I didn't know what this was. I'm leaving. So
no, that's the funny part about some of it. You know, some of these people, they don't really understand what they're actually asking to get into.
Right.
You know, for me, I'm kind of jaded in it. Things don't faze me anymore because in my youth, I've pretty much seen it and done it.
Yeah.
I'm actually getting back into the practice of Wicca. I used to be a Wiccan younger, and I gave it up because of the woman I married, because it freaked her out and I wanted to make sure I kept her happy. And then of course that didn't work out. So, so I'm getting back into it. And being that way, I mean, there are a lot of people that you know, they see the glamour of it on Hollywood or on TV and they're like, oh yeah, you know, I want to give that a try. But they don't have that sense to really do it the right way, because they'll go in there thinking it's going to be just, you know, all fun and games.
Yeah, I think some of them do that. They, like I said, they see the TV show and they're like, oh, look at that, you know. And you know, a lot of times, you know, on these hunts, you know, I'll take the REM pod and I'll take the EMF detector and ask questions, you know, because, you know, they're new to it and stuff. They want to see the lights and stuff. You know, I try not to go too over their head with the ITC talk and stuff like that, you know. You know, just kind of use a ghost box and ask some questions and have, you know, some meters and stuff go off, you know. And sometimes you get that direct hit on a REM pod or something, you know, they kind of freak out and they're like, oh, I don't know if I like that. And some people love it and, you know, they're all about it and they come back and, you know, you see them a lot. They'll come back and to our events and our ghost hunts and stuff like that. And, you know, they enjoy it. I think you have those kind of people that are in it, love it, or they're like, nope, not for me. Thanks. But no thanks.
Right. Yeah. And so, I can see letting people get a taste for it, you know, just to let them see if they care for it.
But, yeah. I think a lot of people have an interest in it. I mean, just, you know, you're in the paranormal, you kind of think about it, you know. I mean, everybody knows Ghost Adventures, or probably seen a Ghost Adventure show at least in an episode or two, and kind of have an interest in it, you know. Is it real? Is there something out there? So that's what we do. We just try to give them that experience with it, you know, to see if they love it, you know, if they're into it, if they're not, if it's something they want to do, you know. I mean, they come out, spend, right, you know, $20-$25 on our walkthrough ticket and, you know, have some great, we try to give them a great experience, you know, one way or the other, even if we don't get anything, you know, at least, you know, hey, that happens sometimes, yet, you know, you'll go through and, you know, but we'll go through, you know, the one group will be, man, that building was so active, it was crazy. Then we go in and nothing, you know, we don't get one blip, one thing. It just kind of how people interact with other people too. So
true.
Yeah, they may. Yeah, exactly. Something might, whatever is haunting the place just may not have wanted to interact with that particular group, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of.
They don't.
They can be touchy too, just like real people. Yeah.
They are, like I said.
That's the thing. You know? They were people at one time. So,
exactly.
Yeah, their moods are going to be there, or their mood's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I think that's why we like Auglaize Village so much for doing that, because Auglaize Village is a collection of old buildings. They were brought here, were brought together then on a property. So they were, you know, we've got an old school, we've got an old church, a doctor's office, a couple old cabins that, you know, families lived in until the 50s even. You know, an old train station. So we have a little bit of everything out there, you know, and it seems there doesn't seem to be anything negative. Now, one of the cabins, it seems like we get in contact with the owner. he can get grouchy if you overstay your welcome, but just in real life, he, you know, probably was grouchy if you overstayed your welcome, you know, it seems like. So we kind of get that experience out there that it just kind of, I think that's a good place to go to take people and just kind of have a different interaction in the different buildings. Each building just kind of has its own little feel to it. So,
right.
Oh, each little haunting has got its own little personality as well.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
True. Yeah. True. So, I mean, it's all makes sense, you know, when you talk about it that way. You got many buildings, probably many different spirits.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have many different personalities. So who knows what you might, who knows what to expect when you walk into one or the other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, in the land itself, you know, this was Native American land out here, you know, it's right, mm-hmm. right by the river too. So, you know, they found a lot of arrowheads and stuff out there, you know? So, I mean, even just the land itself might not even be attached to the building, but the land.
Right.
So
that's probably could have been,
or a little bit of both.
Yeah. May have been an encampment at some point.
Oh yeah. Yep. I think so. Like I said, right along the river, right through there. So,
mm-hmm. So, I guess, Do you guys ever delve into the cryptids or anything like that?
No, we don't. We'd love to. I know we've talked about, you know, doing that. I know me and other team member Derek, we definitely talked about it. We'd love to go on a Bigfoot hunt sometime just to just to check it out. I go deer hunting down in southern Ohio, down in the real hilly part of kind of Athens and stuff. And we have like 2,500 right. acres of kind of private land that a few of us are allowed to hunt on. And I'm always sitting in my tree stand. I'm always looking not only for deer, but see if a Bigfoot will come strolling through there, because it's on the backside of Wayne National Forest, where they've had some sightings down there.
Yep.
You know, I'm always,
I've heard of that, the Wayne National Forest.
Yeah, so this property is just kind of on the backside of it, so I'm always, you know, kind of, I've heard some weird noises, you know, but to say it was that, you know, but I've never had the guts to, you know, do a tree knock or anything like that, and coming out by myself or anything, so... Now, if I had a group with us, then I would. But yeah, I've never done a tree knock or anything.
Well, we've got a little area that keeps popping up recently with a lot of sightings. We've got what's called the Kettle Moraine Forest. It runs through quite a big portion of Wisconsin from south part to up into the northern area near Green Bay, and the sightings are located right around the southern portion of the Kettle Moraine Forest. But also not too far from there is a little town called Elkhorn, where the story of the Beast of Bray Road comes from. Hmm. Okay, which is also similar to the Michigan Dogman.
Oh, okay.
Stories, yeah. If you've ever heard of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So we've been investigating the Bray Road.
Hmm.
All right, the Beast of Bray Road. But... Yeah, I'd like to go look into that Kettle Moraine Forest area. We actually had a guest on not too long ago, Jay, that actually spends a lot of time in there, and he had a lot of interesting stories to tell.
Yeah, I'd love, like I said, I've been watching that Expedition Bigfoot. You know, I like that show on Discovery. That seems to be a good one. You know, like I said, I want to believe, I think he's out there, but I don't know. It seems there's so many sightings. You just think they would come across some little more concrete evidence by now, though, you know, more
DNA. You never know. There's a lot of theories about that one.
But, yeah. Yeah, there is.
I mean, so. I got a saying that I believe anything, you know, anything's possible. Okay. I mean, there's just too many stories of the same creature by people that's never met. I mean, they're countries and thousands of miles apart, but yet their stories and their description of the beast or mm-hmm. the Bigfoot is all very similar in nature.
like the Tibetan Yeti.
Yeah. Or you know, Sasquatch or you know, what the one they saw in the Himalaya Mountains, the Yeti. Mm-hmm. Or the Abominable Snowman, as they call it, you know.
Yeah.
They got the footprints walking across the snow up there in the Himalayas where nobody can go, basically. Yeah. No human's been before. But yeah, there was footprints.
I definitely think there's something out there. Like I said, I think he's out there. But like I said, I do like that show Expedition Bigfoot. I like that one. So you know, I do watch Mountain Monsters though. But those guys crack me up on there.
Buck and, you mean the one with Buck and
With Buck.
Yeah,
and
Mountain Monsters.
Wild Bill. You were telling me
about. Yeah, Wild Bill. Wild and those Bill guys and... take off running through the woods and falling down. Yeah. I get a kick out of that show. So,
Joe is a big fan of them.
Yeah, I like watching those guys.
I have to be honest on this. I have never seen it.
Oh, really?
They go out and basically all they do is search and hunt for cryptids.
Yeah.
In what is it, like Kentucky?
Kentucky, Southern Ohio, because they went. They looked for the Grassman of Ohio.
The Grassman of Ohio, right?
They go down West Virginia area a lot. Yeah, Kentucky area.
So have they ever been down to Florida and looked for the skunk ape?
No, they haven't been that far. They like I said, Virginia. They kind of stay right around that kind of Appalachian area.
Yeah,
right there, Virginia, West Virginia, and stuff. You know, and they're always building this elaborate trap. You know, to catch
trapper.
Trapper, and you know they're building this big trap, and somehow you know somehow it escapes them and stuff.
And then there was another team, wasn't it? Like they discovered that it was another team screwing with them.
Yeah, they had that whole the other team was coming in and messing with them, and that was pretty
good one.
So
oh goodness,
yeah, but.
You gotta realize it's Hollywood.
That one is definitely Hollywood.
It's definitely entertaining. I mean, these guys are really entertaining.
Yeah, it really is. That one's for entertainment. That one's not for, you know. When I first saw it, I was like, man, is this what? You know. Then once I watched a couple more episodes, you know, they're looking for these cryptids that you know nobody's seen, and they walk out in the woods, and you know, 15 minutes, they're like, we got a Bigfoot on us. We got, you know, so the Lizard Man. I think they were chasing the Lizard Man
it probably started out that they were really looking for these cryptids or something. And then all of a sudden the producers didn't like what they were showing and it's gotta be the way a lot of that happens.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, you know, so it's kind of like with Ghost Asylum when they came out. I like that show, but you know, they kind of built the trap, you know, with the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. They were always trying to trap the ghosts in some type of, you know, thing they build or whatever. So I think a lot of that came from, you know, the producers telling them that's what they wanted. You know, they wanted to try to bring something out, and then you know it became, no, let's catch a ghost, you know, and see if we can catch one and take it back to Tennessee.
Yeah, you call it Hollywood. You're going to lose creative control if you go to Hollywood.
Yeah, they do.
So basically, they're trying to be Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
basically.
Leave that to Dan Aykroyd and their crew. Actually, he's really into the paranormal.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
So what do you got on your bucket list? Any place that you're looking to go that you haven't been yet?
You know, one place, like I said, I'd really like to go check out would be Alcatraz. I'd love to check that place out, you know, if you could.
We were talking about that the other day, and I told Joe, and I don't think he realized this, but the state of California actually shut Alcatraz down because the island is sinking.
Really? Oh, I did not realize that. Wow.
Scratch that off your bucket list.
Ain't that a bitch?
But the thing is, I'm not exactly sure if they.
Sorry to burst your bubble there.
I'm not exactly sure if they don't actually do special permits to let people in out there. But I know that they did shut it down because of the island sinking.
If I had the money to go out that far, I'd check it out in advance just to see if I could get a special permit, because yeah. It would be cool as hell. I mean, think, those were the only guys, and it's still to this day an unsolved mystery.
Yeah, those three guys
that did escape, but did they survive?
Yeah, where'd they go?
That's the million-dollar question.
So I'd definitely like to go to Alcatraz. And then, you know, if you're talking about really where you want to go, you know, go overseas, you know, over to England and over there, the UK, go to some of those.
A lot of beautiful, rich history over there.
Yeah. I mean, just the history over there and the architecture over there, but then a chance to investigate some of those places. I mean, if you're really talking bucket list, I don't know if that would ever happen, but that would definitely, you know, one I thought could happen would be Alcatraz, but I guess not.
You can always look into it. I may actually be wrong.
Even to him, burst your bubble, though. He's an asshole that way.
Hey, watch your language.
I guess I need a new bucket list. New bucket list.
Well, you know, like I said, you can always look into it. You can always contact the city of San Francisco's, you know, thing, and then also contact California's, you know, the state capital and see. I mean, it's a good possibility you might be able to get some special permit to go in there. But I know that a few years ago they shut it down because the island was sinking.
I mean, there are some, like I said, I'm looking forward to Trans-Allegheny this year. Definitely a place wanted to go. So looking forward to that. Still like to go to Moundsville, too. Like to go there someday. Those are a couple places. Looking forward to that. So,
yeah, honestly, I think I'd like to actually go over to England and Scotland. And I want to go to my place that I truly, truly want to go, Roslyn Chapel.
Oh,
because that place, if you look at the architect of it and everything, it has architect from pretty much every religion there is. There are symbolisms inside that church and that chapel that indicate every religion pretty much.
Yeah, that would definitely
really
be a
it's
place
really
to go.
Really cool.
All right, you're gonna have to continue this in the bonus footage. You're gonna have to continue this in the bonus footage. So if anybody wants to see the bonus footage or extended footage, check us out on Paraflix, which is being launched March 21st.
Yep.
You're a one-stop paranormal. If you want a paranormal flick fix, you know, or binge watch some of the most unique shows you could find, and documentaries and horror movies I was reading, and oh my God, there's just going to be so much great content coming to Paraflix.
Oh yes.
And then tomorrow night, don't forget to check us out. We are going to be on the opposite end of this spectrum. Tomorrow night, we're going to be on Ghost Buzz. And that's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Yep. And that's with Janet Ramsey and her crew out of Michigan. So be sure to tune in for that one. It's going to be a blast.
And then Friday?
We're not going to be censored. Friday is Teresa Craft. I don't know. I'll have information out there about that. I didn't have anything written down on the schedule. I was only going to talk about tomorrow. You got anything you want to promote? Your Facebook pages?
Yeah, Eric? I mean, go to Underground Paranormal Network. That has all our locations on it. You know, we have 6 locations in all. 5 in Ohio, the 6th precinct in Detroit. Great locations. We run deals on them. 2, you know, you can book 4. You can book all 6 for a great deal. Go there. Like I said, you're helping preserve these places. The money goes to these places to help, pay for electricity, pay for mowing the grass there, whatever, fixing roof. You know, like Middle Point School, they're trying to fix the gym floor there. We're trying to do that. So yeah, Underground Paranormal Network is our Facebook, has our locations on there. Book one, book them all, check us out. And then for our, we go live from there sometimes too, but then Spectral Ohio Paraforensics, that's our investigation page. We go live, that's where we do a lot of our investigations from. So go there and check us out. We do everything live there. Go there, like us, and we'll pop up when we go live. Like I said, we'll be going live Saturday night from Alan Whitmore's place there in Salem, Illinois, from the old Salem Hospital. So we're looking forward to that. So yeah,
that's check us out. Though. We're going to have to run our list.
Yeah, Underground Paranormal Network, though. That's where all our buildings are at and all our tours. We got a great event coming up at the 6th Precinct. We got Mike and Chris from the Wraith Chasers. We got KD Stafford coming in. We got Daniel Clays coming in. We've got, I can't remember who, we got a number of people coming in for that event. Tickets are, you know, like $99 for it for an all day, you know, meet and greet with everybody. And then a ghost hunt afterwards at the 6th Precinct like in Detroit.
Is that the one you're calling the lockdown at the 6th
Precinct? Yeah, lockdown at the 6th. Yep, that's there.
July 31st lockdown.
July 31st at Detroit at 6th Precinct. So
Holly.
Go there. That's an awesome location. Even just to book it, you can go there and book it and investigate that place. So much history there. That building is awesome. So much history there. A lot happened there during like the riots. I mean, they got pictures of the National Guard in there and stuff when that happened. They had like 5 confirmed police suicides in there. It's an active place.
Wasn't that the actual precinct and the history of the riots turned into like a movie or something called the 6th Precinct? You're talking about a police district, right? When you say the 6th Precinct.
Yeah, the 6th Precinct. Yeah, that was one of the in Detroit there. It's on McGraw Avenue. Yep. So.
Yeah, and it happened during those riots.
Yep. Yeah. And then we have an ITC event. September 25th at the funeral home in Felicity. It's going to be a small group. We've got some really cool guests coming out to that. The details haven't been released on it, but it is. We do know it's September 25th. It's going to be a small scale investigation. And we got some, if you're into ITC and really like ITC event or interested in it, this is going to be a whole house funeral home set up with all kinds of ITC. And like I said, we've got, when you see the details, you'll be pretty impressed with the list of guests coming out to that one. So that one's going to be a small but cool event. So,
cool.
So go to Underground Paranormal for more details on that when we release them. So, but we do know it's September 25th.
Now the Underground Paranormal, that's the through Facebook, right?
Yep. Underground Paranormal Network through Facebook.
Okay.
Get on there and, like I said, follow us and like us. And then, like I said, you'll see our events and stuff that we've got coming up. You know, we promote the builders. We promote, you know, a lot of things on there. Like I said, our events, our tours, our places. If you want to book one of our places, that's where you go. You know, just a small deposit down. You bring the rest. The night of the investigation, up to 8 people. You know, you break it up. It's pretty inexpensive per person then. So.
All right. Sounds all right, like Eric. Well, thanks.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for being here. And remember, stick around for a few minutes. We're going to do some bonus footage for Paraflix.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody, for watching.
Yes, thank everybody for watching, and have a good evening, and stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay healthy.
And remember, anything's possible.